You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and big-time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome in. It's the Maiden Voyage, the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. I am Mike McGivern alongside my co-host each and every week, Dr. Brian McCarty. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, very excited about this show. I really appreciate you guys doing this. Let me run down the show real quick. At 8:45, Dr. Clay Frank is going to join us. Our in-studio guest for the entire hour, Dr. Eric Feifel from Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine. Eric, it's good to see you again.
Great to be here. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, Brian, let's start a little bit with why we're doing the show. And I can give a little background. You and I have known each other now a couple of years, I guess.
Yeah.
A couple of Irish guys just hanging out. And I think as we discuss some of the things that are said on not only our station, but sports radio, I think, throughout the country, when there are injuries, a lot of people guessing. What's going on? Is he out a week? Is he out a month? Is what happened? Did he pull it? Did he yank it? Did he tear it? Did he? And everybody's got to guess. And you know what? If we just go to the source and we go to the guys who know, I think it would be easier.
Well, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
You know, when I was growing up and you'd listen to the guys on TV or on radio and they'd say, oh, this guy's going to be out for a week or two or whatever, and then he'd be out for a month. I started to, you know, I thought, geez, you know, do they really know? Well, now, to be honest, it's sometimes sort of painful because we know that this what has happened. And we know we see patients with these injuries every day. So what we're trying to bring to our listeners is a sense of what can be done. How long are they really out for? What really happened? And so every week on this show, we're going to be highlighting a few injuries that have occurred during the week, and we're going to talk about the reality of what that means. You know, you hear guys say, oh, he doesn't have the heart. You know?
Right, right.
Well, it may not be the heart. It might just be that he has a torn labrum in his shoulder and he can't play. So, you know, you can have as much heart as you want and not play through such things.
Are you both saying that rub some dirt on it doesn't actually work, or Eric?
That only worked in the 50s. Now we're in the 2000s.
Hey, well, the truth is we still start with that. Always rub dirt first and then go from there.
That's awesome. Hey, Dr. Eric, let's talk a little bit about your bio. You're an Ohio guy. It's funny because before we came to the studio, we talked about the drive. Cleveland Brown, Denver Bronco thing, and I know exactly where I was, and you were at that game, so you're Ohio guy through and through.
Yeah, I'm a little bit pathologic. I try to hone it down as I've lived in Wisconsin for about 15 years now, but yeah, I love the Browns.
Mike, there's a dull knife here. Don't get him started on the drive.
That was something. I was in Minneapolis at my uncle's house. I know exactly where I was. And I can name a couple of the plays, and we won't get into that. But
well, I was in the dog pound crying on the way home. So,
oh my goodness,
that's horrible.
Do you know what's funny? You don't remember some of the great wins in the games you were at, but those losses they stick with you for a long time. Hey, where did you train, and why did you get into what you're doing here?
Well, certainly I trained the majority of my life in Ohio. I grew up in Akron and went to Ohio State University. For my undergrad, did my medical school in Ohio at Medical College of Ohio, did my residency training here in Wisconsin where I met my wife, and therefore I am stayed in Wisconsin, and I went back to Ohio State
She's
for
worth
a
it,
fellowship.
Eric.
Yeah.
So.
Did he outkick his coverage a little bit?
Oh, for sure.
Did he?
Yeah. As have we all.
Hey, yes, we have. I agree. I'm the president of that company, so were you a sports guy? Did you play sports and everything growing up?
Yes, I was a soccer, baseball, and basketball player. I know I'm not that tall, but I was tall at one time in my life.
Can you still hit a jump shot?
I still can hit a jump shot. The jump is only a few millimeters there.
That's all right. You go 3-point to 3-point line. That's definitely what we're looking for. Why Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine, that's what the show is. What about this group of guys drew you there?
You know, certainly this was a vision of all of our physicians in the group. Sports medicine is a passion both in our lives but also in the majority of our hobbies. So it is an all-encompassing type of ideal for the majority of our practitioners. So when you get these people together, lots of great ideas occur. We have subspecialization that allows us to bounce ideas off each other. So it gives a great asset to our patients to have so many minds coming together with the significant amount of training we have had throughout the country. So it's a great opportunity for us, but even better opportunity for our patients.
Boy, there's a commercial right there.
It's
just fact. Yes.
As you know, it's not a commercial. It's true.
Well,
and it's a multidisciplinary thing. So we are not the kind of guys who say, well, we know everything. You know, we know everything about what we know about, but we also have nutritionists, we have sports psychology, we have podiatrists that participate. We have every different portion, primary care, sports med. They're all represented on our team. Athletic trainers, physical therapists, occupational therapy. That was the dream in the beginning, and now we've realized it. And that's one of the reasons we're sharing that with everyone today.
You know, I think it's important, and one of the reasons that I got excited, and you're the guinea pig, Dr. Eric, you're the guinea pig. But one of the thoughts I think that Dr. Brian and I both had was to be able to introduce and kind of humanize you guys. And you know what? Look, you play racquetball, you play basketball, you know, you're like everybody else, except you're an MD and you're a doctor. And what your job is and what your passion is to get guys back on the field or the court when they're ready to play. And I think that's so important that when we talked to you guys and Dr. Brian and I came up with it, and I agree with it, to be able to just say, hey, look, you know what, Dr. Eric's a LeBron James fan, you know? Cal Ripken Jr. doesn't really like John Elway much, but I think it's important that people that are listening, when they come to see you, that they know you a little bit and feel comfortable with that.
Well, I think understanding that physicians are people, that we have passions, that we have trials, is a very important part of being able to take care of people. And I'd like to take this opportunity. It's about a year out from I had a big ACL injury. Dr. Brian took care of me, gave me an anatomic double bundle ACL. I'm 1 year out. I've been skiing, playing soccer with my kids. I'm back doing things. So if that helps humanize it, hopefully it does, and it gives some props to our program because we're able to take care of even old guys like me.
How did can I ask how you tore it?
Playing soccer with young guys.
So you're not going to play soccer with young guys
anymore? Officially retired.
You're officially retired.
He's become the team physician.
Was he a good patient?
Yeah, he was a very good patient. You know, part of what Eric said is also true on the other side, which is, you know, as physicians at least in our group, we also look to make sure we humanize our patients. I mean, I think oftentimes people go to the doctor and they feel like a number. They feel like somebody's just putting them through the numbers, you know, and through an algorithm. And we don't do that. I mean, we want to know you. We want to know who you are. We want to know what your needs are. And that dictates what we are going to recommend and how we can help you.
You know, I think that what you said sometimes is common in your field, but it's not. I mean, this is really kind of almost your mission statement,
yeah.
I think, and I think that's really important. Hey, guys, we got a couple of minutes before we get to our first break. Adam Wainwright with the St. Louis Cardinals, and obviously he's been an Achilles for the Brewers for a long time, but he he got injured, and we talked a little bit about this before he came in. Can you explain what an Achilles injury is?
Yeah, certainly. Achilles tendon is the one of the largest, strongest tendons of the body, and it attaches the calf muscle to the heel, as most people know. As he struck the ball, stepped out of the plate, he felt a pop and kind of it went down. And most likely this wasn't just from a single step. This was a accumulation of a bunch of different steps, his pitching stance and follow through over and over and again. And he's a young man in his late 20s, early 30s, but he plays a sport that has repetition. And these things occur quite often, even in guys that are high caliber athletes.
Guys, I'm going to ask both of you this, and you're both big sports fans. Do you think so when people say, look, maybe pitchers shouldn't hit because of this injury, how do you respond to that?
Well, this injury didn't occur because he was hitting. And this is one of the reasons we're doing the show.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you hear this being put out as a reason why pitchers shouldn't hit. I mean, they maybe shouldn't hit because people can disagree or agree because of the, you know, amount of money you're paying them to throw the ball. But this injury is really an injury that occurs because the tendon is weakened by chronic inflammation in the tendon that you can't feel. So I'm sure, Eric, I know I live in fear of this injury because it happens without warning. And it feels like someone just kicked you right in the heel. And it happens very frequently in our age group. So did this happen because he was batting? In my opinion, absolutely not. And I don't think it has any bearing on whether pitchers should bat. That's a whole separate topic.
Do you agree with that, Doctor?
I agree. You know, I think in this world of instantaneous news cycles and social media, I think that the lines between what should be done medically and what should be done theoretically or based on the monetary gains of the game become a little bit blurred. But this one is not a medical decision not to have pitchers bat. But if you ask me, pitchers shouldn't bat.
There you go. Hey, what causes a tear? Is it wear and tear? Is that basically what it is?
It's wear and tear, but it's also the status of the tissue. So as we get a little bit older, our tissue, just like our skin gets a little saggier on the outside, the tissue inside get a little bit beat up and get some micro trauma where it doesn't fail, but it can be achy. But when you start to get a little bit older, have repetitive activities like the pitchers do, these start to fail. You don't see Achilles ruptures in teenagers. You don't see them in someone in their early 20s. You see them as we get to our late 20s, 30s, 40s, unless there's a significant trauma. When it's repetitive or something simple like this, it's usually based on tissue quality and the patient's repetitions.
Do you think that he will make 100% recovery and come back and pitch the way he's pitched in the past?
Maybe. You know, certainly it is possible. The Achilles recovery is pretty reasonable for the majority of people, unlike a lot of recoveries. But certainly it depends on how he rehabs. If he listens to his physician, does everything correctly, which he most likely do because he's an athlete. But I think he'll be able to get back. I think most pitchers can.
Yeah, I think so as well. I don't think he'll pitch as well against the Brewers, but against everyone else he will.
Do you know, from people that I know that have had that, they say it's just one of the most painful things. My buddies have always said, boy, it felt like I got shot right there. Or somebody has said, you know, maybe got hit by a bat. But they say that that's the most painful injury. I think your brother had the same thing, Dr. Pfeiffer.
My brother had it. He felt like he got hurt.
Yeah.
And that's something. Guys, let's get to a quick break. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit about Kevin Love's injury. And I know you guys have some opinions on that. If you have not seen it, the way it happened was pretty kind of weird. I don't think the player from Boston tried to do that, but I don't think he let go quick enough. But that's just my opinion. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. Our special guest for the entire hour is Dr. Eric Pfeiffer. My co-host is Dr. Brian McCarty, and this is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand.
It's Jackson Brown, a little bumper music for our show, our new show, the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty, our special guest for the entire hour, Dr. Eric Pfeiffer. He is also with Midwest Orthopedic and a Cleveland fan through and through.
Go Cavs. Certainly
Cavaliers fan. So this next, you know, we've got him tissue by where he's sitting just in case he starts crying. What happened to Kevin Love? Can you explain that injury?
Well, unlike your description of the injury, it was a blatant pulling of his arm and twisting it. I was watching the game on delay as I had kids' soccer games that day, but my buddies from Ohio were texting, and it looked like when he immediately occurred, his shoulder dislocated. He kind of saw that little dip in his shoulder. He held his arm very awkwardly and ran to the training room. So, you know, he dislocated his ball and socket joint.
Can I ask you guys, when you see something like that, you know, again, a guy like me, I coached a long time, so I watch it and I think, well, I wonder maybe this, maybe that. When you see something like that, do you, I mean, obviously your thought process is quite a bit different than a guy like me, but did you know, how quick did you know probably what happened?
Well, I mean, we see, we're on the sidelines a lot.
Right.
And so we know pretty much, right, what happened. There are times where we know it's one of two or three different things. In this one, it was pretty obvious that he dislocated his shoulder. He had all the look of that. He ran right to the locker room. You could see a little depression in the shoulder. And, yeah, I mean, I don't think Olynyk was trying to dislocate his shoulder, but he clearly was trying to pull him down by his arm. And that's why he got suspended.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was a very physical game, and that was one of only four or five significant plays. And, you know, this is a very cool thing, being able to watch injury. Not that I enjoy seeing them, but it allows us to see the mechanism. But in this day and age where people are seeing these type of injuries over and over again, they have a much greater understanding of musculoskeletal system, and it makes our jobs easier because people come in with knowledge and we're able just to expand on that.
He's Dr. Eric Pifel. He's with Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine. Please don't be offended by this next question.
All right.
So when this happened, they, and I don't really know who they are, but they said he's going to be out 2 weeks. And now he's out for the playoffs. And so guys are saying, well, you know, he's soft, man. He must be soft. That's not the case, correct?
Well, he certainly just underwent surgery. So I think that being soft is probably not part of it. But, you know, in this day and age, just like we talked about, you know, we get information instantaneously. People want answers right away. So the teams or spokesmen or agents give instantaneous answers that probably are based on very little fact. The likelihood anyone's going to return 2 weeks after a shoulder dislocation is very small unless they've had a history of shoulder instability. But even then, to be able to do what he needs to do with the physicality at 2 weeks after dislocation would be very improbable. So that number was very, very minimal compared to where it should be.
Yeah, you remember when we talked months ago about Aaron Rodgers' calf injury.
Right.
Right. And people were saying, oh, he's soft, he won't play on this thing. And, you know, I spent a lot of my life fixing this problem arthroscopically. So if people saw what it looked like when you went into the shoulder and you saw it was torn and the bleeding that occurs and the tissue damage, they wouldn't be saying that. And much like if they saw what people's calves look like when they tear their calf muscle, which I think you did.
Right.
And you
yeah.
see it's all black and blue and swollen and huge. And most people aren't even walking around on it, or they're in a boot. And he's trying to play an NFL game?
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing as this. So clearly the labrum is, people don't understand what it really is, but it's comparable. If you imagine a golf tee and you imagine the edges of a golf tee, the edges of the golf tee are similar to what the labrum is around the socket part of the shoulder. So it's kind of the edge, the soft tissue edge that holds the socket together. And so when you tear that, it's like chipping the edge of a golf tee, and the ball will want to fall off in that direction again. And so for a guy who's playing a physical sport like basketball and you're a power forward, if you're in a position where you have to, you know, wrestle for a rebound, you're probably going to dislocate the shoulder again. And, in a case like this, he could do serious damage to his shoulder that may impact his ability to play at all.
Hey, Eric, what would have happened had he tried to keep playing? Could he have hurt it even more?
Well, you certainly saw that little dip he had. So the shoulder was dislocated as he ran off. So in the training room, they most likely manipulated it and got it back into place. I don't know the specifics of that. But even if they got it back into place, just like Brian had talked, the injury itself is not just the ball and socket joint changing. It is the soft tissue envelope around it. And when that is injured, his ability to return would be very, very improbable. I would say for a sporting event, no one would come back after a shoulder dislocation that I could think of it that same day.
Is surgery necessary for that? There's no rehab that can...
Well, in this case, you know, it depends on what your level is and what the tear looks like. So they come, as most things do, in a variety of different types. But the type of tear that he had was almost certainly what's called a Bankart tear, which is an inferior labral tear. It was described back in the 1920s, and it's been around since all time. And as a matter of fact, back in the ancient Greek days, they used to use a hot poker and stick it in the shoulder, believe it or not, to try to scar it up. Yeah, that's where we started.
Wow, we've come a long way, boys.
These days we can go in with an arthroscope and we can actually look at exactly what's torn, and we can put it back exactly where it was before with three little pokes in the shoulder. It's quite incredible, really. Even when I was an intern, we were doing them open still. They were still opening the shoulder and taking all kinds of tendons and muscles out of the way to get at it. And now we do them routinely, and the results are excellent. So that's why you had it repaired.
Dr. Pfeifel, is this a an injury that's fairly common? Is it more common in basketball than football, or is it throughout all sport?
You know what I would say? It's a very common injury in all sports, especially contact sports like basketball, but more importantly in collision sports like football, rugby, hockey. When you have collision, you have arms that are out to the side. They oftentimes will dislocate. His mechanism was a very uncommon one in which the arm is tugged. That would be much more probable in a grappling sport like wrestling than it would be basketball. But these are very common injuries, and they're even more common now that women are participating in collision sports because they have a tendency to have much less shoulder girth and musculature, and they have a tendency to be more unstable, and they pop out a spot more commonly.
So the big question through all this, and you being such a big Cleveland fan, what does this do to their chances, you think?
I think it takes them from 2-1 odds to 3-1 odds to win it all.
So you feel like they're still getting to the finals,
still
though.
Confident.
Well, they still have this other guy. What's his name?
Yeah, the guard.
Be free.
Yeah. Old school on me.
I think that LeBron guy's pretty good.
Do you remember the helicopter?
Oh yeah.
That took World Be Free. We're going old school. Well, I was at the Bucks last game, and I don't want to talk about the score, but I was sitting around all Chicago Bulls fans. I have never, ever been more of a Cavs fan in my life than I am today.
You'll be happy.
I said to the people, three guys, two guys and a girl in front of me, some big boys, and they were on me pretty good. And I finally said, middle of the third quarter, I said, guys, you're right, you're going to win this game. But tomorrow morning when you wake up, the Bears still have Jay Cutler. And they turned around and the woman said, I got nothing. Well done. Well played.
Rose going to have his next injury. That's
He went down and I thought, oh man, these guys, they were awfully quiet there for a minute. Let me ask you the last question on the soldier, and then we're going to go move on to a break. When patients come in and they have that tear, to you guys, what advice do you give them, and what if it's a tear like this, how long are they normally out for?
You know, certainly, just like we talked about earlier, discussions about recovery and treatment are all personally based. You know, if someone comes in and is a power forward at an NBA, certainly the treatment decision tree is much different than a 70-year-old who fell down the stairs and dislocated their shoulder. You know, we have lots of options based on what the patient's expectations are, but also the pathology. So if it's an athlete, we're certainly going to discuss with them. They're going to have repetitive instability, especially if they have tears in the shoulder, and we probably need to fix that. If it's someone older, we may try some things that are much more conservative because their expectations and goals are much lower.
Guys, that's good information. Go to mymosh.com. If you want more information or bio information on any of the doctors, but certainly Dr. Eric Pfeifel and Dr. Brian McCarty, again, Google MyMosh. Get a really good idea on who these guys are and some of their beliefs. And, again, one of the reasons we're doing this show is to introduce you to some of the finest sports medicine guys in the country that happen to be right here. Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine. Guys, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit about hips, guys. And I know, Dr. Eric, that's an area that you're very interested in and certainly do a lot of work in. And we'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Is coming back home late today. Could you maybe?
You can tell they let me do the bumper music today.
That wasn't us, I swear.
That was totally me.
Eric was tearing up over there.
Little Barry Manilow, Doctor, My Woman is coming back. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty, and our special in-studio guest is Dr. Eric Pfeifel. So we're going to talk about hips. And Brian, I'm telling you, I'm going to allow you to start with this. There's a lot of things that I could ask because people my age and friends of mine are starting to have problems with their hips, and they're starting to get hip replacements and things like that. And this is certainly, Dr. Eric, right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the reasons we wanted Eric to come on today is that this is one of the cutting edge areas of sports medicine, and Dr. Pfeifel's an absolute expert at this. He is, I would say, one of the better hip arthroscopists for sure in our region and maybe in the country. And so we're really pleased to have you here to help us understand this. And so I wanted to start, just explain to our audience, what is hip arthroscopy? What does that mean?
Well, certainly we've touched on it throughout the show about small poke hole surgery, and arthroscopy is that. In the shoulder, in the knee, throughout the body, we utilize this to help minimize the amount of pain and rehabilitation that's necessary. In the hip, we are now doing that at a much higher frequency because we have better instrumentation. The hip has some challenges that are a little bit different than the shoulder, knee, elbow, wrist, as those are joints that are peripheral in the body. The hip is very central. So in order to get into the hip, we have to open the hip specifically in a little bit different manner. So it's a lot more technically challenging on top of dealing with the normal rigors of surgery of other joints.
Yeah, this is something, I mean, I have a lot of arthroscopic experience. Obviously, I've done hip arthroscopy. Now I send them all to Dr. Pfeifel because we really believe in doing what we do really well, and that's what we do. And we, at one point, we were discussing this, and he was really getting interested in it and going to courses and learning more and more about it and doing more and more of them, and has just gotten increasingly to be an expert in this area. So how did you get interested in it in the first place?
You know, certainly as we have built our program, we've had people who wanted to have niches, and I like the cutting edge of orthopedics. So certainly hip arthroscopy, about 10 years, went through a formative years, its teenage years, and started really, really getting big, growing, much more technology, much more research, any more resources. So in that type of situation, I had a population of patients, which I didn't have a lot I could do for them. And so I increased my focus on that because we didn't have great ways to treat people, and now we did, and I wanted to make sure we were able to bring that to our team at Mosh Sports, but also to my patients.
Yeah, this is really reminiscent for me of the history of shoulder arthroscopy, because when I came into training, when I was an intern, we did all of the shoulder work open pretty much, and I feel very fortunate about that because I had the opportunity to see open surgeries and to see the transition to arthroscopic procedures. And now everybody hears, most of our audience, I think, is aware of arthroscopy and scopes and putting little cameras in and being able to see everything with less invasion and a lot quicker recovery. The other thing is that what people don't often understand is how much more you can see with a scope than you can when you open something up. It seems counterintuitive, but opening is like blowing off the front of a building. You can see everything in the front, but you can't see in the back. Arthroscopy is like driving a little robotic camera through the building, and you can see everywhere if you're good enough at it. So I was just kind of curious as to, have you seen that same thing develop through hip arthroscopy?
Yeah, certainly we don't want to get too nostalgic as far as our orthopedic interest, because, you know, it is awesome. And we always look at it and look at the tiers of how things are. We went from casting to doing open surgeries to doing joint replacements. And those are awesome to us. And I understand the audience. We don't want to get too much into that. But this is a great way to treat our patients, and I am very happy that we've made this transition.
We are talking about hips right now, and how far it's come. We are talking with Dr. Eric Pfeifel, and is there a typical patient? Is it an age thing? Is there typical patients that come see you for this?
Yes, you know, certainly hip arthroscopy has two kind of age ranges that I typically treat. much like in shoulder patients. So in shoulder patients, we have patients who dislocate their shoulders in their 20s to 40s and those who have rotator cuff injuries from their 50s to 70s. That's a very, very large generality. Just like in hip arthroscopy, there are two age groups, those in their teens to 40s who have hip impingement and labral tears, and I'll go into those in a bit. And then there's the ones who have tendon tears in their on the outside part of the hip or abductor tendons, which is the hip rotator cuff. So we have two separate groups of patients that I see for hip arthroscopy.
So what kind of symptoms do people typically present with that have these hip problems that we didn't used to be able to do anything for, but now you can?
So the active patient that are our athletes typically come with groin pain. They describe pain as they transition in position, getting in and out of a car, as they're cutting on the field, feeling a popping sensation as it would be across the front part of where their pockets would be in their jeans. A feeling of catching or ratcheting, things that diminish the ability to run and oftentimes create pain during and after their activity.
Was this previously often diagnosed as a groin strain?
Yes.
That wouldn't go away?
Yeah, certainly in the past. And, you know, this was at the beginning of my practice 12 years ago. I had a lot of patients who were passed on from my other partners who had had hip strains for 10, 12 years. Well, that doesn't make any sense. And they would have x-rays and have no arthritis. And we'd go, what the heck is going on? But thankfully, some smart people have figured out these diagnoses and allowed me to study under them and figure out how to treat them.
What is after you have this done? What is, you know, the next couple of weeks like? What tell me what people have to do then to get back to being able to run
after surgery?
Yes.
Oh, so certainly, just like Dr. McCarty was talking about earlier, the ball and socket joint of the shoulder there's also a ball and socket joint of the hip. Now, unlike the shoulder, which is kind of a ball on a plate, the hip is a ball in a bowl. And around that bowl is a labrum or deepening cartilage that allows people to have excellent motion and maintain stability of their joint. So what we do at the time of surgery is we open up that joint, repair that cartilage pad, and take away any of the bone spurs on the socket side or the ball side that may kind of pinch that soft tissue together through ranges of motion or cause hip impingement. And then we repair those down, so hopefully they have a kinder joint with a repaired labrum. After that, they go home that day. They're on crutches for somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks, depending on the severity of their injury. And for people to get back to running, jumping, twisting sports, somewhere between 4 to 6 months. Those who do collision sports, more 6 to 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah, Eric, could you explain, people talk about impingement in the hip and CAM lesions. Could you explain what that means?
Certainly. Impingement, just like you all know, is a pinching between hard tissues. And what happens is the ball pinches the soft tissue as it rolls through and gets, if you do that over and over again doing sports, it creates a significant amount of pain and inflammation.
You know, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk to one of your patients. And he's just not an average Joe. You know, he is Dr. Clay Frank, and he is a renowned spine surgeon. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about his experience. That should be interesting because, again, I don't know if doctors make the best patients, but we'll find out. He's going to join us on the other side of the break. I'm excited about that. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
My love, baby, oh so bad. You're not the only one I've ever had.
Yes, they've taken me out to bumper music already. They kicked me out after the Barry Manilow one. I'm done. I gave it my best shot, but Dr. Feifel said no chance we're doing anything else from you. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty, our special in-studio guest, Dr. Eric Feifel. Our guest on the, you got him on, Matthew? Excellent. On the phone is one of Dr. Feifel's patients, and we want to talk to him about his experience, Dr. Clay Frank. Dr. Frank, how are you doing today?
Good morning.
Man, thank you so much for joining our show today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Clay.
Hey, as Dr. Pfeifel's one of his patients, one of his patients, can you talk a little bit about that journey and how the surgery went and how things progressed after for you?
Yeah, you know, I was listening before the bumper music, and thanks a lot for that, because I've been called Dr. Love in the past. I'm trying to leave that behind me.
I knew it.
I was that guy. I was the guy with the groin strain for about a year and a half before I finally gave in to the idea that maybe there was something more structural as a cause for my pain. And I went to see Eric, and he diagnosed my problem with an MRI and a physical exam. And then he reassured me that, you know, it wasn't going to get any better. And at that point where I knew the finality of no chance for improvement without corrective surgery, at that point, Eric and I explored surgical options.
Yeah, so Clay, that's a common history, isn't it? The ongoing pain that sounds like something else, but it turns out to be something, you know, more structural. So, what was your experience like with the surgery?
You know, like all patients, doctors are apprehensive about surgery. We're fearful that it might not turn out. We're worried about our ability to work afterwards and provide for our families. And I had all those same anxieties, but Eric and the team at Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Hospital did a really great job of calming my anxieties and making me feel that everything is going to be okay. Now, the surgery, Eric's probably going to hate me for this, but I got to tell you, I woke up from the surgery and my preoperative pain, that knife-like, stabbing, achy pain in the, as you described earlier, in the pants pocket area of your hip, that was gone when I woke up. And I knew it immediately. I knew instantly when I woke up that my problem had been fixed. Now, I still got a long road of rehab ahead, and I got to follow it back to Pfeifel's instructions, do my exercises, and, you know, gradually advance my activities. But my preoperative pain is gone.
Well, I can say to that, Clay, that certainly I do not hate you for having pain relief. I will take that in a heartbeat, and I would say that your story is quite common. It's not an absolute, and certainly every patient, just like we talked about, is an individual, and they all recover a little bit differently. But quite often when people are dealing with symptoms, the amount of time you've had them, you change the anatomy and alter some of your mechanics, those symptoms go away. We trade away some surgical irritation and pain for some fairly significant pain relief. So I'm glad to hear that, and you've been a great patient so far, so keep it up.
Thank you.
Yeah, how long ago did he have the surgery?
It's about 3 months now, correct, Kate, Clay?
3 months.
Two months.
Yeah, so he's only two months out. And
Three months
oh,
in.
Oh, sorry.
3 months in and feeling much better, obviously, than he did prior. Are you're off crutches now and walking just fine?
I was off crutches at about 4 to 6 weeks. Eric would probably say that I shouldn't have gone back to a full operating schedule doing spine surgery that early, but and he might have been right in some respects. But back to full activity, full everyday life. Now, there's some things I have to watch out for. I can't hit the golf ball with a full swing just yet. But I've got hope that this year I'll be able to play. Whereas last year I didn't have that hope. I just had that constant pain that took away from not only my enjoyment of non-work activities, but was starting to crowd into my work-related activities too.
Yeah, for our viewers who don't know Dr. Frank, I mean, he's an outstanding spine surgeon, very busy, and does an excellent job taking care of his own patients. So for you to have this kind of commentary about our team at Mosh and Dr. Pfeifel is really a compliment of the highest order.
Oh, thanks. And it's heartfelt. I can't say enough about the care that I received, the follow-up phone calls, the nursing, the anesthesia care. I mean, when you go to an orthopedic dedicated hospital and you have orthopedic dedicated personnel, the experience as a patient is entirely different. And I can't say enough about the professionalism of everybody that I encountered in my journey through this hip arthroscopy.
Dr. Frank, thank you so much for your time here today. We really appreciate it. And good luck a couple months down the road hitting that golf ball.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Clay.
All right. Thanks,
Clay.
Thank you. Guys, we just got a couple of minutes. Jonathan Lucroy broke his big toe. And as a catcher, I just wanted to touch on that. You know, they're thinking maybe a few more weeks. That's going to be difficult for him to come back as a catcher with a broken big toe.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's one of those rub some dirt on it injuries. You know, you broke your toe, get back out there. I mean, that's one of the ones you go inherently, hey, that should be easy. But think about what a catcher does. It's a toe stance in order to squat behind the plate, let alone trying to run. Let alone trying to cut and turn and twist with a bat in hand. So 4 to 6 weeks, I think, is probably on the short end,
and maybe
longer.
That's optimistic. So if he can get back, it's because he's super tough. Have you ever broken your toe?
No, I have not.
Not till you break the big toe, it hurts like crazy.
Do they put pins in it? Is that how you...
Most of the time, these are treated non-operatively.
Okay.
And if it's at the front, we don't know all of the details, but if it's at the front part of the toe, you know, he probably will be able to get back in that time frame. But anybody who's sitting out there thinking, oh, for goodness sakes, you know, get on with it. You just broke your toe. I would challenge you to break your toe and get on with it.
Dr. Eric Pfeifel, thank you. You were the guinea pig. Not bad, right?
That was great. I appreciate it.
You know what? I'm so excited about doing this show, and I think this, Dr. Brian, this first show, you know, kind of says why we're doing it. I mean, there are some
things. This theme music says everything.
Now, you picked this theme music.
This is awesome.
This really, boys.
This is how I feel when I get up every day.
Look, you didn't mind
this
the Jackson.
This is my shower music.
You didn't mind the Jackson Brown. The Barry Manilow one put me out, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That was the end of it. Hey, next week, I'm excited. Dr. Sean Tracy.
Yeah.
He's going to join us again. He is from Mosh, and we're going to talk about youth sports and single sport athletes and things like that. Go to mymosh.com for any information on these guys and some of the things that they do. Best way to get a hold of them, again, mymosh.com. Boys, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and thanks for listening. Send us questions via email if you have them.
You bet. And you can go to Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. We have a tab now, The Mosh Show, and you can listen to the show if you missed it. Matt Barlow, well done. Thank you so much. This has been the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.